Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in addition to the skirmish over scheduling his job speech, his contentious relationship with Congress, and everything else that President Obama is considering, add to his plate the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. Nearly 1,700 miles of pipeline would reach from Alberta, Canada, to the Gulf of Mexico if the president approves a permit application. The issue has yet again pitted environmentalists against those who see the pipeline as an opportunity for economic growth, job creation, and more energy. And a State Department assessment of the environmental impact of the pipeline released last week has only added fuel to the fire of the debate. One of the nation's top climate scientists, James Hansen, the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, who was one of the first to alert everybody to the possibility of global warming. Hansen was arrested on Monday while participating in an anti-pipeline protest outside the White House. He has said that it is, quote, not in the planet's best interest to build the pipeline. The actress Daryl Hannah was also arrested at the protest. And even the Republican governor of Nebraska, Dave Heineman, has gotten involved. He's urging the president to reject the permit application because the pipeline would likely affect important water supplies in his state, and the risk of oil spills are too great, he says. Still, supporters of the plan point to the promise of the Canadian oil fields, both economically and in reducing the country's dependence on fuel from the Middle East. So here to talk about the debate over the Keystone XL pipeline is Jim Robbins, veteran environmental reporter and writer for The New York Times. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
There are videos and photographs of these tar fields, and it doesn't look like liquid oil the way we think of oil. The oil sand, as it's called, can be packed into small cakes or patties. It's actually called bitumen. And oil sands are usually talked about as controversial oil sands in the press. How are these oil fields different from others, and what makes them so controversial?
Well, it's not drilled like a lot of oil fields are in the Middle East and other places. This is a semi-solid or a solid, but something along the lines of coal, but not that hard. And what they do is they go in and they strip mine hundreds of miles of acres of forest in order to get down below the surface and to dig up this substance. Then they take it and they have it processed near the oil fields. That's what they're doing now. At some point, though, as they get deeper, they're going to start pumping steam into the ground, and then this stuff will melt and run off, and they'll capture it that way.
That's how they get the oil out of the sand.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge environmental problem, and this is the size of Florida, these deposits in Alberta, and they're going to mine it all. It's the second largest oil deposit after Saudi Arabia in the world. And if it moves ahead as planned, it's just going to be this massive strip mine, fifth of this province of Alberta. And it's caused a lot of problems there. There's toxic chemicals that have the water after they process these sites goes into these holding ponds. There's toxic chemicals, and there's some belief that the native communities there have higher levels of cancer, although that's disputed. They've lost certainly their hunting and fishing grounds and places. There are some fish that have been found with tumors and things like that. So it's an environmental problem on site, and it's just getting bigger. But it's a huge play. So you can see that all of the major oil companies have investments in this oil field, and so there's a lot of money to be made there.
I've seen photographs too of these massive oil sand trucks used to extract the oil sand in Canada. These trucks look like they're three stories tall.
Yeah, they're the largest trucks in the world used to get this stuff out of the ground. And, you know, you have to wonder if the price of oil that people are paying for this isn't, I mean, we're subsidizing it by accepting all of these other problems without anyone having to pay the cost. So it's interesting. It's how you figure what this oil is worth is a big part of all this.
Because there's so much oil there, using oil from Canada doesn't save the U.S. from a dependence on foreign oil, but it does change which foreign country we're getting how much of our oil from. How much would it change that in terms of the breakdown of where U.S. gets oil from?
Well, it's not really clear. I mean, one of the things that opponents say is that when this pipeline reaches, see, right now this is in the middle of Canada, and there's no way for them to get this oil to the coast. And a lot of people think that once it gets to the coast, whether it's Texas, which is where the Keystone XL pipeline will go, or to the coast of British Columbia, which is where the Enbridge pipeline would go, that once it gets there, that it'll end up in China or India or somewhere else, and it won't really get to the U.S. at all. So there's a bit of a shell game going on in terms of where this oil is going to end up and whether we're really going to be energy independent because of this pipeline.
I'm looking at a map of the proposed Keystone pipeline, which would go from these oil sands in Alberta, Canada, and a ways up. It looks like hundreds of miles up in Alberta, not right near the border, and it would come down through Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and finally into the Gulf in the Houston area and western Louisiana. The current pipeline, and there is a current pipeline that starts up in the same place in Alberta, comes down only as far as Oklahoma and with a spur to Illinois, which means it doesn't wind up in the Gulf of Mexico. What are those pipelines used for now, and how different are they, and any less controversial, if they wind up in, you know, landlocked areas?
Well, they're a little less controversial because they're not as big or as sweeping as these pipelines. But dill bit pipelines, which is what we're talking about here, diluted bitumen. You mentioned early on this is a whole different thing than regular oil. And one of the problems is it's mixed with chemicals, and in order to get it to flow, and the companies haven't really released what's in those chemicals. So if there's a spill, and there have been oil spills from these companies, serious ones. I covered an oil spill from Exxon near Billings, Montana, earlier this year, and that was only 1,000 gallons, and that caused a lot of problems on the Yellowstone River. But diluted bitumen has all these chemicals in it to get this semi-solid to flow through the pipeline. And people are worried, it would go through some of the critical areas, critical habitat, called the Sand Hills in Nebraska, where a lot of water is sourced for the farm and ranch industry there, and a spill could be devastating to the water sources in Nebraska. A lot of even Republicans, as you mentioned, the Republican governor of Nebraska, scratching his head about why this pipeline has to go right through such a sensitive area.
The project sponsor, TransCanada, says 20,000 construction and manufacturing jobs would be created, and 80% of them would be in the U.S. Now, that's the company's estimates, so they're probably high, but some meaningful number of jobs as well as extra energy, right?
Well, yes, I suppose that's true, but what are the costs of those jobs, and what are we doing to the environment in terms of using these fuels, added carbon from this from these mines up there in Canada is much larger than regular oil drilling. So it's kind of a game of trying to figure out, you know, what the real costs are and what those jobs mean. I did a story not long ago on bristlecone pines in Nevada, and it's the last 50 years have been the warmest in these mountaintops in the last 5,000, according to tree ring studies. And so, I mean, at what cost are we going to continue to use these kinds of fuels? And that's kind of what Daryl Hannah and mm-hmm. Bill McKibben and those folks are saying, is it's not just about the pipeline or this mine. It's about this dependence on fossil fuel and what's happening to the planet, which doesn't seem to be even an issue anymore in Washington, D.C.
That's what Daryl Hannah and James Hansen are getting themselves arrested over. James in Cold Spring has a question and a critique about this. And, James, we have about 20 seconds for you. Go.
I just wanted to point out, I'm a master student at NYU Center for Global Affairs, writing my thesis on this very pipeline. If you spend 2 years or even a week, perhaps, looking into this issue, the oil sands mining aspect is about 2% of the total resource. About 97% is SAGD. He mentioned steam technology.
Is that an argument for?
You won't have a mining footprint.
It won't have a mining footprint?
No.
So this is an argument.
This is common knowledge.
In other words, the environmentalists are overreacting?
you know, they have the right to make their point, but the facts that they use to make their point are often, you know, sort of hollow. I mean, I've been up to Fort McMurray. I've seen this for myself. It is a mining operation, but the amount of oil that we're looking at in the future won't be coming from mining operations.
But they say it's also, and thank you for your call, Jim Robbins, New York Times environmental reporter, 10 seconds. Is the problem the effects of the mining potentially, or the flow of the oil on this continent-wide or Canada to the Gulf pipeline?
Well, I think that the biggest problem, according to the critics, is the fact that this is adding to the carbon in our atmosphere.
They just
and
don't want
climate change.
Any more oil development. How much weight does the Obama administration's approval of the permit carry? Or can Canada just do it anyway? We have 5 seconds.
No. Hillary Clinton has to sign off on this.
Yes. And because it's international Secretary
right,
of State
chief,
involved.
The chief lobbyist for the pipeline company was her deputy campaign manager.
I see. Jim Robbins, thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.